China's real estate market is crashing, sparking fears that China could be on the edge of a Lehman Brothers moment. And it has many people wondering if this crisis is coming to America. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as we pick back up the story that seemingly almost went away as Beijing tried to control its real estate market's implosion, and seemingly it did. But it's back as global central bankers are tightening monetary policy and the fiscal spigots are being turned off. And here we are on the edge again as China's real estate market takes a nosedive. And many people in America are wondering and are afraid if this is coming here because they remember that the great financial crisis started in America and spread to the Western world. Now the question is, will China's crisis start there and spread to the rest of the world? Let's pick this story up. We head over to Zero Hedge that leads off with China's property sector is crashing again, and this time it has reached the country's biggest developer. The crisis engulfing China's property sector, which has prompted Beijing to capitulate on its tightening ambitions yet again, and forced China to launch an increasingly more aggressive easing campaign, which so far accumulated in the first rate cut in Chinese official rates in almost 2 years, has impacted the country's biggest developer. Keep in mind, Evergrande wasn't the biggest, but this one is, sending the shares and bonds of Country Garden Holdings, which is even bigger than Evergrande, plunging amid fears that reportedly failed fundraising effort may be the harbinger of waning confidence. And here we can see the Country Garden's U.S. dollar notes plunge to record lows in the wake of a report that the firm failed to win sufficient investor support for a possible convertible bond deal. Longer-dated bonds were trading as low as 69 cents on the dollar as of late Friday, and they weren't the only ones. It is notable because China's developer was relatively resilient in the face of liquidity crisis sparked by a government crackdown on excessive borrowing by builders and housing market speculation. And I want you to keep in mind, because last week we talked about how the Fed was going to crack down on demand by tightening monetary policy. Similar story, different country. Keep that in mind. And has been unscathed by the crisis at the industry giant Evergrande. But just as we warned back in September, China's slow-motion real estate crisis, which revolves around what Goldman calculated last year as the world's largest asset, was absent significant stimulus from Beijing, is facing a very painful derating. And again, stimulus. You know, we got to be thinking about what's going on with all this stimulus. The fiscal spigots are off, and the monetary ones are being withdrawn. Keep that in mind as you think about what's going on here in America and stock market. So here we head over to Bloomberg that headlines Chinese developer bond route deepens on hidden debt concerns. Logan bonds sink to record after report of debt obligations and transparency issues are undermining investor confidence. Well, that's probably not the only thing, but mounting concerns about the transparency of China's better developers is forcing bondholders to question the liquidity of firms whose finances appear sound. More debt would mean more creditors, some of who could demand early repayment. There's also the risk that hidden liabilities like trust loans, private bonds, or high-yield consumer products receive preferential treatment over money owed to offshore creditors. China Evergrande Group, Kaiser Group Holdings, and Shimano Group Holdings all have faced such obligations. And here you can see, as I mentioned, that Country Garden wasn't the only one. Here we see Logan's, Longfor's, and CFI's, all their bonds are headed down in value too. Again, as we've talked about in the past, where there's one cockroach, well, there's probably more. And I think people are starting to figure out that China's real estate market isn't that great of a place after all. Let's keep going, because Bloomberg goes on to say that risks across the Chinese property sector are rising, evident from difficult refinancing conditions, even for the most well-regarded firms. And again, now we start to get into what is an interest rate story, that perhaps rising interest rates are causing a problem here. And boy, we're going to dig deeper into that here in a little bit. Stay tuned. So going on, greater clarity on the disclosure of liabilities as well as asset sales are crucial to shore up confidence. And at least seven developers have defaulted on dollar bonds since October. That includes Evergrande, whose crisis has ensnared lender China Mingxing's Banking Corp, the world's worst performing bank stock. And Guangzhou RF Properties Company was downgraded to restricted default by Fitch Ratings last week due to what the ratings firm called a distressed debt exchange. Well, that's very nice of you, Fitch. And Chinese property firms need to repay or refinance some $99 billion of local and offshore bonds this year, just under half what is outstanding dollar debt, Bloomberg compiled data shows. And that is a lot of money, and we've already seen defaults since October. Now, if you're concerned at all about what a Lehman Brothers moment in China could mean to your portfolio here in the U.S., well, don't be. Check out Portfolio Shield. You'll be glad you did. All right, let's go on, because now Wall Street Journal jumps into the fray by saying China seeks to cushion the blow of economic pain as momentum slows and Beijing eases some earlier tightening policies amid uncertainty around COVID-19 property market slump and looming drop-off in export demand. Ooh, a economic slowdown maybe. Now China's leaders are hoping they can put a floor under the economy, which officials said Monday expanded by just 4% in the fourth quarter of last year, which is pretty slow for China, the slowest pace since the beginning of the COVID-19 recovery in the second quarter of 2020. To do so, they're easing some of the earlier tightening policies, for example, by increasing mortgage lending to homebuyers. Well, that worked out for the U.S. when we did it. The country's central bank said on Monday cut two key interest rates that could pave the way for further cuts to the benchmark lending rate. And one thing I want you to understand about, you know, kind of this broader story here, and it's there's multiple pieces, obviously. We've got the real estate market in China. We've got interest rates. But one thing I want you to understand is when you have fiscal and monetary spigots turned on and they get withdrawn, the economy goes through withdrawals. And while those withdrawals, when it's highly indebted, they usually don't turn out very good at all. Let's go on to Bloomberg, who headlines China cuts interest rates, as we just talked about, as growth risks worsen with Omicron. Of course, GDP rose 4%, as Wall Street Journal mentioned, 8.1 for the full year, which is pretty good, but retail sales weaker than forecast last month, and investment slows. China's central bank cut its key rate for the first time in almost 2 years, prompting some people to hope the Fed will do the same to help bolster the economy that's lost momentum because of property slump and repeated virus outbreaks. But in a stark policy divergent with other major economies, the People's Bank of China lowered the rate at which it provides one-year loans to banks by 10 basis points, the first reduction since April 2020. And while inflation is a dominant concern for central bankers in U.S. and Europe, China's relatively stable prices mean policymakers have shifted to boosting growth. Official data on Monday showed gross domestic product rose 4%, the weakest since early 2020. And again, this is, you know, the notion that the Fed is suddenly going to have a course reversal due to what's going on in China. What you see is China isn't experiencing the inflation it is as we are in the U.S. and other parts of the world, which means policymakers outside of China are going to have to fight inflation and restrict demand at a time that this isn't going to work out for the rest of the world, or even domestically for where those central bankers are at. Let's continue on the story, because here you can see there's China's gross lows with retail sales weakening more than expected. And that is a bad sign, because as retail sales go, well, industrial output will also go, and there goes your gross domestic product. And so this comes to the circle now of the interest rate story, because so many people now in the U.S. believe that interest rates can only go up. And if you ask them why, they don't really have an answer. They'll cite inflation, but that's a very poor explanation, because inflation is a lagging indicator, and well, interest rates are a leading indicator comparatively. So what is going on in the bond market and why rising interest rates are a problem is the same issue as going on with China. Because what happens when interest rates go up, demand goes down. And when you have a highly indebted, over-leveraged property market, or in the case of the U.S., perhaps a property and stock market that's been funded based on margin debt, well, usually there's a collapse coming. So while speculators are busy driving rates up, as I'm about to show you, the big bet is on the other side, where interest rates are going to crash. And I want to show you the smart money. Well, they know where this is headed, because they've seen this before. So this is a great piece called "The Commitment of Traders Bonds. Speculators drop 10-year Treasury note bets to 100-week low." And they're going crazy here. Now, this is a bit technical. I'll just say this. The next few slides are a bit technical, but hang on. The last slide will make this whole thing crystal clear. You'll love it. Just stay tuned for a moment, because I want you to understand that the 10-year Treasury note, large speculators standing this week equal to total net positions of minus 343.8 thousand contracts in the data reported through Tuesday. This was a weekly decline of minus 66.9 thousand contracts from the previous week. This week's current strength score, now we're going to get into the key part here, shows that speculators are currently bearish extreme with a core score of 19.1, meaning the speculators are betting on lower bond prices and higher interest rate at extreme levels. The commercials are bullish extreme, which means the smart money, who the commercials are betting on lower interest rates and higher bond prices, and while small traders or small speculators are bearish extreme along with the hedge funds. And here you can see this chart of the commitment of traders report showing that just how bullish the commercials are. And again, the red you're seeing is the smart money. These are your commercial banks. These are your foreign central banks. These are the people that know what's going on and are taking what is seemingly the opposite end of an obvious bet of higher interest rates, knowing how this actually ends. And you can see there are times when the commercials get very bullish, and we're going to look at in a very simplified chart what that means. Now, if you're not sure what a futures contract is, here's a really brief answer to that. Is each U.S. Treasury futures contract has a face value at maturity of $100,000 with exemptions to 2- and 3-year, which have a face value of $200,000. So a lot of people wonder is how can speculators drive prices down so fast? Well, they use high-powered future contracts and just clog the system full of bets on the downside. Of course, there's buyers there. But when there's a lot of flood of supply coming in, particularly in a time where there is a limited amount of supply, the buyers just accept a lower and lower price, letting the speculators drive interest rates higher. But it doesn't last because the smart money knows, and you can see here bullish extreme positioning, and in this great chart from MAC10 on Twitter, you can see that he shows that when the commercials get at extreme bullish levels as they are here, interest rates on the 10-year tend to crash. And you can see at this point here, they got bullish, interest rate 10-year on the interest rates on the 10-year crashed, and again they crashed, and here they are again, leading the only obvious answer and conclusion of this is interest rates are about to go down because higher interest rates are tightening financial conditions and are going to cause major problems, including a slowdown in the U.S. property sector, which with inflated prices could send the housing market here crashing right behind China. I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back soon. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended by investor or other advice. You're not to be construed out recognition or solicitation by selling securities, friends, or instrument, or participate in particular trading strategies. We're once paired by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, business expressed in this video, and do not affect the view of Atlas Fund Advisors, Inc., or Steve Van Meter Financial.